This morning I'm turning to the book of James, chapter 1. And I read to you verse 16 to 17. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of light, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. This morning we are thinking about good and perfect gifts. Good and perfect gifts. That's our subject. And our text, as we just read, teaches us the source of all blessings in our lives. The source of all blessings in our lives. So that it tells us that all these good blessings we enjoy in life come from God. And God is the giver of all that is good and also that is perfect. And these good and perfect things we think of, which pertains to this life, this temporal life, as well as eternity. So if you should think of anything good, we think that we think of God who gave all these things to us. That all that is given that are really good and especially good and perfect is not only for this life, it transcends this life to eternity. So it lifts up our thought beyond the things possessed in this life as we continue to see. And over the end, can you see a share idea about Bible? Look at that. Adia eye achadia eye na dimu a efu yakopon ho a odi maye eno na ye fi James the book of Ochoa eno chapter 1 16-17 na runo say mamu can you have your please read that two verse in view for me, verse 16-17. So, as a key version of the art text tells us that these things come from God. And this truth that God is immeasurably, immensely good, that His goodness do not change, is the truth that brightens His nature. If we think of any attribute of God without His goodness, we don't really get it well. Because there are attributes of God that goes against our sins, that goes against our own wills and other things, that makes us so far away from God. But His goodness makes us to realize that all those attributes of God are for good. So you share a couple of ne subi or what? A kutia, one, a kutia, a pepra, and then your bra, you go in the home. Now say, you share an uncle, you lose your boy, a couple of beer, or ye, or beer, or ya, a becassa, a beer, sir, and your uncle, a young pet. But you lose your boy, or beer, or ye, or ye, or Naomi, no, ya, I don't say, hey. So it is the attribute of God that brightens all His other attributes. So that even when we don't understand our life situation, when things go on and His dealings with us, we are not able to understand. We realize that God, this is a good God that deals with us. You see, many people in the world that do not know God, they fret and make so much noise, and sometimes try to find a solution for their problem by going to this so-called prophet and juju men and all that, because they think that there are things in their life which they don't deserve. But if they know that God is good and that whatever comes to our lives, God is right, we would rather go to Him and seek for mercy. But you see, people attribute our troubles to many reasons, not to ourselves. So definitely we will not see that God is good. So, this is what James begins to tell us. That, and the first lesson we learn that whatever happens to our lives, whether we understand it, we like it or not, God is good and that his dealings are always with goodness. He does not, he himself said that he told the people of Israel when they were being punished for their sins and when in that 70 years of captivity, he tells them, some had already gone, they have started it, but some were still in Jerusalem where they were supposed to join them, and that they have to own up their resistance against the army of the Chaldeans, the Babylonian army. And he sent Jeremiah to go and tell them, he said, they should yield up and go and become slaves, because his intention for them is good. And they said, no. That is how we are. He told them, they should yield up and become slaves. But he has a purpose for making them slaves. Because they have sinned. And the people said, no, Jeremiah, you are lying. Even the prophet came, Jeremiah is lying. And that is it. But God is good. And some of these churches, they will shout, oh, God is good. They say, God is good all the time. And yet, when troubles come, God is not good. You see how people have different views. They will say one thing, and when, the reality comes, they act differently. That's hypocrisy. Okay, so, we go on. Apostle James, in this chapter, he was reading the source and purpose of believers' trials from chapter 1, from the verse 1, and also the source of temptations to sin. So this was his main topic that he was dealing with when he reached our verse. And in this discourse, he made it clear that trials are good for believers, and that they are sent by the Lord for our perfection in sanctification. This is his state in verse 3-4. He says that, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing, referring to our sanctification as believers. That trials, difficulties that the Lord sent to us are good for us. That's what he says. Okay. And that it comes from God. So that when troubles assails me as a believer, I don't look at any other causes. I go to God. I may not know the cause, the purpose, but I go to him. He is able to give us grace to sustain us and also patience to wait for him himself come to relieve us. But when it comes to temptation to sin, he said that it's from our own lust. When we lust after simple things, and that temptation leads to sin and death. That one we state in verse 14-15. Say, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away from his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. The American said, James, sir, in chapter 1, they are now all come once them here. A JD for a man who said, a JD near man who be a free radical. Now, they are the bride of so, and the Bama, the demon, the house is yes, yes, yes. Now, because they know the chances that how we are to JD near, you radical or so called. So, I'm going to go and answer Bakunya, I don't know to me, and after I would try. No, to me, the atlas actually arrived there. A genty or sumas are a real at the end of the buy. You know, sounds so actually, I said, sir, maybe a best way actually a bear bonino, a luffy yankasa, yakono boniso, say yakuma could be in your mabonny each year, and the anima a dear co bonim, the bonus we are at the Uber. So, he settles this matter. Trials, difficulties in a Christian's life is from the Lord. But anything that will tempt us to sin is not from him. Sometimes people confuse this thing. But the way the temptations are used for these two things. So people think that when people say God tempts people, they think that God tempts people to sin. No, but he makes it clear. Trials and difficulties in believers are sent from the Lord. But temptation to sin is not from him. That's the difference. So he settles these two matters. Temptation to sin comes from our own sinful lust. Then after he settled this, then he affirms that God is the source of all good. You see how he does it. He has said that God brings troubles to us, and that he's not source of it. He doesn't bring sins to us. Then he affirmed the doctrine of God, that God is the source of all that is good. And he says that in the verse 16, do not err, my beloved brethren. What it means is that it is only ignorance and sin that will attribute the source of temptation to sin to God. When we don't know the God's truth in Scripture, when we don't know the mind of God in Scripture revealed to us to tell us about Him, that's only when anyone can attribute that, well, we fell into sin and the trouble that came from sin is from him. Truly, God punishes sinners, that is true, but he doesn't tempt them to sin. So it tells us that it's out of ignorance that the source of temptation is attributed to God. And you know, as I said when I started, people often do this. When they have regarded God's guidance in Scripture, when they have ignored his truth, and the life of sin have ended them, landed them into various distressing conditions, then maybe loss of money, loss of relationships, health, reputation, whatever, then they say, oh, why has God allowed me to be in this place? Forgetting that it is their own life of sin that has landed them. You see, people always do. Sometimes you meet somebody who has been in trouble for some time, and his language will tell you, well, why am I the only, who have done this or that? Yeah. Instead of them to realize that it is their own lifestyle, whatever decision that has landed them, no. They rather think that God is not dealing with them right. So you see, it's a common thing people would do when there are troubles for a life of sin. But let's remember that it will be injustice of God, the judge of all the earth, to tempt people to sin and afterwards punish them for the sin they have done. It's injustice if we ever think of that. That God has not helped me, I'm in trouble. And now, as if God led me to sin. So James tells us in verse 16, do not err, my beloved brethren. Mamu nyam from cry. Never apportion sin to God of all good. God can never lead us to sin. And you know, sometimes in Christians, when we are backslidden, or when our faith becomes weak because of several reasons, we may entertain such erroneous ideas in our minds. When all of a sudden something hits us, instead of just to think through with scripture knowledge, we begin to say, why me? What about hear the word, why me? I don't deserve what has happened to me. And it's a language of this error that I don't deserve it. But the Christian, yes, what a true Christian later will sit down and realize, no, I made a mistake by even questioning why me. Because the scripture will bring that light that if God has dealt well with me, God has dealt well with us. So you see, whatever we think of everything that happens to our life, we attribute it God didn't deal well with us. It's what James is talking about. Do not err. God do not sin. There's no sin with God. So now we come to our text, our major text of discussion, which concerns us. Because when you understand this, and then you realize what James is trying to teach us. And James moves on deeper to tell us what is really good. There are so many goods, but what really we have to look at from the hand of God. So I read verse 17 again. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of light, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So the first thing we do, that we think of God's temporal gift or ordinary gift he gives to all his creatures. The life we now have and all the things that support us here are gifts from God to us. When we are born into this world, there are natural talents that are given to us. And when we come to this world, he's still forcing general ordinary talent to us. But how often do we think of these general blessings to our lives? We think them that we have a right to them. So that's what we do. Let's think of our own health. How less we think of it until illnesses and disappointment affect us. Sorry. Until we realize there's some illness that we have met. Suddenly we have fallen ill. Then we begin to make regular assessment of our health. We begin to be careful with our health. And we begin to be mindful of our health. You see, it's easier to forget these gifts and to not be thankful to the Lord. It's easier when we wake up every morning and we are fit, we think we are okay, and we undermine this gift to us. But then, as I said, when sudden illness or disappointment affects them, we need to think that we need mercy. All along, we never thought that this was mercy that was sustaining us. The air can say, But when troubles are serious, so they will think of it. Let's also think of the mind. Have you ever think of mad people? I'm sure some of all of us who are sound in mind, have you ever think for them a little? Have you ever considered their pitiable condition? Looking at how my mind is sound, I'm able to do it. Have you ever just think? Whenever you see a mad person, have you ever look at their condition and look at yourself? Why are they so? Have you ever thought of that? They are in that state because they lost the rationality of their mind. Their minds have stopped functioning properly. They are human beings, but their minds have stopped functioning properly. It functions, but doesn't function according to soundness. That is it. And I realize how pitiable it is to be in that condition. That my mind wouldn't function well. It's a great gift to have a sound mind. You see, it's a great gift from God. Though it's an ordinary gift, it's a great gift because when if you think of the mind that has gone dysfunctioning and that of the mind, what the minds have achieved in this world, the human mind, the technological advancement, the discoveries, the many books that have been produced are products of the mind. So, Yeshua, you know, I'm saying, what can I say? And I won't go down for what else? What is that? Fellow, not me. Not doing that, I said. Maybe I'm not doing it to my papa. That means any moment, Miss Margaret, by yes, I'm Miss Margaret, sorry. Yes, I'm just by useless. So, if you say, I'm doing it for them, I say, I'm doing what here, I check here, or say, if you share, if you say, I'm going for a boy. If they were not gifted with sharp intellectuals, they would have been like any other person. Their names in the books of records would have been there. But who gave them that gift of sharpness of mind? It's not from them. It's from God. It's not from them. The sharpness of this intellectual is not from them. The unfound more and more, universe will be a good new graduate and say that. See, God gave it to them. If God didn't give them that mind, they wouldn't have been great as we see them today, with their names, whatever. They wouldn't have been. If God gave them all those minds. And when we think of that, then we realize that if God has not made us become to have such a sound mind, we ourselves, though we are not of that sharp mind, we could have been who we have been now. Your business, your education, whatever level you have been, whatever achievement you have made, you are able to pursue them because God has gifted you a fit mind for such enterprise. What you mean, a human now, you are school now, what you mean, costly, if you say, Nyamia Mao, Adria, a move, ETF, oh, say, human. Just a moment, when this mind dysfunctions, you are off. All that you are perceiving, you can't use again. But how the way we think of our mind. It's our own. People used to do all sorts of evil. We use it to conceive all sorts of evil. It's our own. Forgetting that the owner is there. It's our minds. God gives this other gift. And also all other blessings of life as we think of are all given to us, gifted to us, to enjoy. They are gifts. That's the thing. They are gifts to us. God who gave us our souls and body gifted us. Each and every one, the level of our intelligence. We cannot go beyond what God has given us. We can only go and do according to what He has put in our mind to do. So it is our duty as Christians to be thinking of these gifts. Many. Yeah, I chose these because these are the most important to us, because if we don't have health, we don't have our minds, what do we do? All other blessings are nothing. All other opportunities are nothing. Let a madman be in the royal family or the most richest family. What benefit will he get from the royal family? What benefit will he get from the most intelligent group of families? It will be nothing. If we also even have sharpness of mind and our health is not helping us, what will you do? So that's why I chose these two. It's a very important thing that we think of. So, it is our duty as creatures to be thinking of them. And how we think of them, gratitude in our hearts will let us realize the God of all goodness. Because when we have gifts, and we think how a gift is so useful to us, then we are thankful to the one who gifted us. Okay, I'm just giving an illustration. You have maybe a poor neighbor, you gifted him or her something. If he thinks of the gift, then it's more thankful to you. But if you give the gift, just put it somewhere, he doesn't care about it. Well, you use it, but he doesn't really thank you for that. But the one who is so happy that you have them, and to think that this person has been so good to me, he thinks of the one who gave the gift. He can't think of that. So, when we are thinking of what God has given us, then we are able to think of He who is good. Then our minds begin to be thankful to Him. See, I dreamed of God, so I changed, or even Abraham, and your man, and my idea of God, and your papa, the papa, no, I'm wine. May I have your consumer, your dynasty. And then, when this gratitude has risen from our heart naturally, then we'll realize that this God who is God, we realize what our responsibilities are to Him. And we realize how we have failed Him with our lives as sinners. Then realize that every misdeed of our life is against this holy God who demands from us righteousness. Oh, look at all my disobedience. Yes, God is so good. He has held my soundness of mind. He has kept my health. And then my sinfulness comes to mind. Then I realize that I have been ungrateful to this God. And I will realize how much reverence and obedience I owe to this good God. So I may dream how Abraham and Yom Akra, then because we dream, and then I'm not sure. Ah, you have a point here, I'm happy. And I'm here as for this year. When you be a maybe, I'll put you on. Now, everyone will say, hey, tell me, Deno, a woo, and yes, a book meeting a booker. I'll send me a book from Shishano, and I'm meeting in Assembly. It is often said that when people are ungrateful for their temporal mercies, it will be hard for them to seek after eternal happiness. So, Nipa, Nenin saw the help of their man, Abrabo Emoa. I bear dear Masai Nipa and said, Obey, if you any day if you write in, sir. He will never. Because he has despised temporal mercies. Why does he think of eternal mercies from the same God? No. So, ungratefulness is one of the sins of those who go to hell. Because they will never think of. No, they are not satisfied. They are not happy that God has gifted them, and then this will move them to seek Him for eternal happiness. And this eternal happiness, which God through His Son, Lord Jesus Christ, is offering to us. He's offering to us when He calls us to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And how many of us want to embrace this? We'll have it in our mind, but if we are unthankful for what He has given us, this offer of God's forgiveness in God Jesus Christ will also undermine it. After all, it's one of those blessings. But if our minds go to the fact that even our soundness of mind is a great thing, if we don't have them, if God do not give it to us, we are nothing. Then truly, if I don't seek forgiveness from Him, I am lost. That is one of the things that will move us to come and seek forgiveness from. If we are ungrateful for our lives, if we are not happy of what God has given us, we will never be happy for His forgiveness for our sins. We will never go to Him. So that is for ordinary things of life. And this is good to all. Everybody has his portion in this life. We enjoy them freely. So we think the other side which will take us to this, that we think of God's gift by grace. And this is where James was touching. Every good and perfect gift. God, other gifts, they are good, but they are not perfect because it is only for this life. It is having limitations, as we see. So to begin with, all gifts by grace are given through the Lord Jesus Christ. And they are meant for eternal existence. All gifts by grace. The Bible itself teaches us this. In Romans 5:15, it tells us the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. This is different from other gifts. It is what the grace of God and the gift by grace. The gift that comes by these special favors of God is through, which is by only one man, Jesus Christ, who came, who was given for that purpose, has abounded unto many. Many have had this gift given them. But this is not given to us as the ordinary gift. This is not given to us generally. This is what? A gift by grace. So gift by grace, special favor, which God gives for the recovery of sinners to be saints. Now people are using this term. Oh, Adoma Chedi Abobi, so if you say, or Tumia, or the Shemkom, or Tumia, or the, that's not what the Bible talks of gift of grace. Sometimes, oh, you say, oh, Adam, either a woman or a man, oh, you say, oh, Adam, he has the grace. And the grace is that he's able to prophesy, he's able to do some miracle, whatever they call it, whatever. That's not what the Bible, the gift of grace. It's not that. The gift of grace, forgiveness of sin. Adam, Achadia. Ah, yeah, because a pastor, Adam, I hope what the fact is to pray. The other gifts which are given by the Spirit, which when we are, but for the sinner coming only to have this special gift of grace to make us be partakers of this general blessings of the Spirit. Here is the gift of grace through Jesus Christ, our Savior. It makes sinners to be saints. It's this gift that recovers us from our ruined state of sin so that we become saints to God. These are purchased by the atoning death of Christ on the cross. Sir Adumu, actually, I'm not used to Adumu. Or Toma Emra, who was saying the answer. When he suffered on our behalf, when he was punished on our behalf, when he shed his precious blood, when he hung on the cross, he was buying us for this. He was buying for us this special gift of grace. If this special gift of grace was ordinary, why should Christ come and die? Why should He come from glory to come and humiliate Himself and go to the cross? God had already blessed kingdoms before Christ came with a material blessing. There were great kingdoms, the Assyrian kingdom, many Egyptian, Babylonian kingdom. Even Israel became a big nation, a prosperous nation all over the world, even up to now. But there's one gift that Christ has to come and purchase for us. This, the atoning death. You see, that's why I always repeat myself that when people say that the death of Christ procured for us health and prosperity, it's so shameful. Because health and prosperity was in the world before Christ came. Herod and all those who were against Christ, they were prosperous. The Caesars, and they were prosperous in this world. They had the whole world at their disposal. But they never have this special gift of grace. Mention all the great men of the world who never knew Christ, who have swayed the course of history, Napoleons and Hitlers and others. They have so much power in the world, but they never have this gift of grace. So when people think of the blessings of gift of grace, they think of world prosperity and health. As Apostle Paul said, they should be accursed because they teach other gospels. And those teachings are from Satan himself to deceive people. It's sad that people can be deceived with this. You see, because there are many who don't go to church, who have nothing to do with church, And they are better off in the world, matters of the world, intellectually, materially wise. So why? Why do you say that people have to be? Just last or 2 days, I was passing by the market area and I saw somebody who was preaching and he was giving this example that some managers are in the offices corrupting matters. When you want, people want a job, they will take bribes and other things. But when you come to Christ, you will not have that problem. You will not be facing this problem for this manager. I said, what? It's not, and people will be listening. It's total nonsense. That means when you become a Christian, when you apply for a job, some manager will not abuse you. It's total nonsense. So all that they think that when you come to Christ, all your life troubles off. No, this is not a gift of grace. It is even when that becomes more stronger. So by you trusting in God and praying, God will himself help you whichever way he wants you to. But it is not going to be lessened like any other person. You see, this is the gospel they preach always. So this is what James is telling us. And this is what is preaching for us. As I have said, temporal gifts, God gives to everyone commonly. And they are only enjoyed in this world. Whatever of these ordinary gifts you may have, it is for this world alone. When you die, it's off. When you die, it's over for you. But a gift by grace is for the perfection of these temporal blessings. If there's a temporal peace, if there's a temporal happiness, if there's a temporal possession, the gift of grace will give you possessions in heaven. It will give you true happiness. It will give you true peace of conscience by forgiveness of sin. It will give you true spiritual joy, so that whatever happens in the world, you're unshaken. You're unshaken. This is what you're talking about. It rather abounds this so-called blessings we have, and gives us even greater than these things. Temporal blessings that are enjoyed in this life, eternal blessings, you begin to enjoy spiritual life here, and in heaven, there's that greater and a boundless enjoyment of that. So they are beyond this life. So when you think of life, for instance, gift by grace restores eternal life. The resurrected body of the believer will be void of corruption and mortality. Say, that is the blessing. This body, which is gifted to us, will be given immortality. And it said that it can never be defiled again. So it is beyond. This body, no matter how it is, as last year I was preaching, it is subject to decay and whatever it is. But the resurrected body of believers will be given that spiritual body, that it will not be affected by all these problems of life, the troubles that we have. Also, the soul will be free from darkness of sins. The soul, which is now until salvation, is so covered with sin and dominion of sin and Satan, all that is against our soul, will be released, will be freed. But none of the temporal blessings can relieve a soul from that condition. Is it not interesting that the most people who have sharp minds in the world, most of the time, they are those who have soul, have darkness of mind. Because they can't come down from their pride. Most people who are so highly intellectual or blessed with material blessings, not all, because some are different, some different become Christians, it is common with them to have darkness of mind. If you look at many people who are blatantly promoting atheistic ideas, they are people of high intellectuals. And yet, you realize they are those promoting, they are people of authority and material in this world. But they champion this, all the evils of society, you see? So it doesn't matter our state of temporal blessings. What matters is what we have when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we think of the mind also, give by grace, renew the mind. So that the believer is able, as we are told in Romans 12:2, the believer, when the mind is renewed, is able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He's able to see matters. He's able to weigh ideas by the light of Scripture. and see where God's will is. This is what it means. But until our minds are renewed, we can never. Well, sometimes we will choose God's will when it favors us. But we will never choose God's will when it's against our own will. We will never do that. No unbeliever will do that. That's why we say that true love can never be in the heart of an unbeliever. Because true love comes from the life of God in the heart. True love. So no matter how an unbeliever loves, it's insincere. Because it always has self and personal pride, whatever, arrogance in it. So that is it. When the mind is with this gift by grace through Christ comes to us, our minds are renewed. That gift, the Holy Spirit comes to renew our minds. And then we're able to weigh matters. That's why only believers can really live to please God. Though imperfectly, but they can please God because their imperfections are covered by the blood of God. And at least they will pursue that. No unbeliever will pursue a life of righteousness, a life of holiness. An unbeliever will pursue it for some purposes. When he gains it, he stops. Or when there's difficulty, he abandons it. But a believer, even when he is not able to, he will cry after God to help him. So that though, like somebody who is so incapacitated, but then by and by he's crying after holiness, he's crying after righteousness, he's crying after all that God's will will have to be done by him. Though he's weak, he will do that. That's the believer. So that in that state, the discernment is made clearer, so that the renewed person can do nothing but pursue after that which pleases God alone. Not my will, but thy will. You know, spiritual duties mean committing ourselves to spiritual duties, prayer, with the word, even church attendance, and the outward, with many, many other things, Christian service, to be persistent and have that joy in it, demands this. Demands a renewed mind. To realize that, well, I am tired, I'm weak, but this is the will of God, it has to be done. I pray for grace. And Christians will always have that as well. When you pray for grace, God will strengthen you. In your weakness, he will strengthen you. In your sadness, in your disappointment, he will strengthen you to do what he wants you to do for him. And that's one of the assurance that God is with you. When that you have to do right, and you are so hindered, you are so troubled, you are so overwhelmed by prayer and meditation, God will send you help. That is one of the blessings of knowing the Lord and having that renewed mind. That is the possession the world doesn't have. The possession the world doesn't, the unbeliever doesn't have. To depend on God for help when there's no other help anywhere. You will not swerve to pass other ways, but still go on. The Lord will come with his help. So the gift by grace includes, first of all, forgiveness. In Ephesians 1:7, we are told, in whom, that is Jesus Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. The riches, this is another great thing that people have misapplied. They think of the riches of Christ, and they say, oh, Christ became poor so that we can have the world at our disposal as Christians. Because the riches, you Christo, that's what they say. The riches of Christ is in the forgiveness of sin and all the blessings that come from that. The ransom price was paid by Christ for our forgiveness before God whom we have sinned against. His atoning death was a complete satisfaction for our sins' punishment. That is what gift of grace procured for us. So that, oh, as sinner as I am, I come confessing and surrendering myself, asking him to forgive me. God, looking on his son, he punished. He said, go free. He sends peace of conscience. He gives me strength. He gives me his love. To love him, to love his law, to love his way. Then I begin to walk with him. He gives me spiritual strength. This is where it begins. That atoning death was done to purchase this for me. The gift of grace includes new nature. In John 1, Gospel of John chapter 1, 11 to 12, talking about Jesus Christ, who was rejected by most of the Israelites, he came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. So those who believe in Christ, God sent his Spirit to come to dwell in them, and regenerate them to spiritual life. That's what he says. Because to become a sons of God, it's not a natural thing. It's something done by his spirit. So that those who, as many as receive this message of blessing from the Lord and give themselves to it, God sent his spirit to make them his children. He sent his spirit into their heart. As also perhaps the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We cry after God as our Father. And there's a special blessing by grace. And that the new birth come along with all blessings of grace for the believer's sanctification, which conform him to God's holiness and righteousness. In Romans 8:29, we are told, for whom he did foreknow God, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Image of holiness, image of righteousness, image of love, image of willing to obey God entirely. That's what Christ came to show us, that it is possible to obey God entirely. For he came to completely obey God's will. And that's what he made put in us, to pursue after these things. So all these blessings which grace bestows are permanent. This forgiveness, the new life given to are permanent. That's why those who think that you can lose your salvation, it's not founded. Because this blessing is not temporary. These are perfect and complete gifts. How do you lose these gifts? These are not gifts of our health or life or possession. These are gifts of eternity. And you say somebody receives it and he loses it. It's not a gift. Gift by grace. And they are permanent because the verse tells us, it's from above and coming down from the Father of light, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. God is the Father of life because he's the source of all life, natural, which we see, moral and spiritual life. When people have God in them, moral and spiritual become brighter. They don't just live as moral beings, they live even as spiritual beings. Forgiveness of sin and new birth, when we receive, are unchangeable. God is a special blessing by grace, which the unchangeable God has promised. That's why he said that this is from from God above, the Father of light, with whom is no variableness, neither of shadow of death. So that when he says that I have saved you, he will never let you go. He has saved you. He doesn't change his mind from those that he has saved. Before he saved you, you were a sinner. So will he leave you after he has saved you? No. God doesn't save righteous people, he saves sinners. And so, because of our sinful nature, he still have us, though we have sins in our heart. And he also forgives our sins when we sin against him. But then, he has to save us first and renew our heart and give us this new birth. Also, temporal gift, when we compare to give by grace, as I already said, goodness has limitation. It's enjoy for a season. When we have them today, tomorrow, they may disappoint us. And God doesn't give temporal gifts permanently. All that he gives us in this life, God has never promised to give us these things eternal. That's why we don't live to enjoy them forever. Methuselah and others who live for almost 1,000 years, they died. They enjoyed these temporal blessings of health and life for almost 1,000 years, but they died. How many years have we enjoyed this temporal life? But how many of us are not glued to these temporal blessings? And we don't care about our soul. It will disappoint us. Like Jonah's shelter. Remember when Jonah, after God delivered Jonah, and Jonah went to proclaim his word to the Ninevite, Jonah made a shelter and to shade off the sun. And a few times it wilted off. It's a picture of temporal blessings. Yeah, it will give us some comfort. Soon it comfort will turn to disappointment and bitterness. And sometimes it's losing them becomes so bitter that it will counterbalance with the joy we ever had from them. You see how these things are. But gift by grace through Christ has perfect goodness. Its word transcends this life. It's eternal. In 1 Timothy 4:8, we are told that godliness, which is pictured as this permanent and good gift, is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, this temporal life, and of that which is to come. You see? Not only in this life do we expect God's well dealings with that when we have this special gift. It is for the life that is to come. There's a life to come. There's a life to come. And people always forget about it. There's life to come, which is far greater and better than what we have here. So So to know God's forgiveness by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and to be born again by His Spirit, this is that which is good and perfect gift of God. This is what James is telling us, the good and perfect gift. Jesus Christ Himself told the woman at Samaria in John chapter 4, when He went to ask the woman, give me water to drink, the woman was surprised because Jesus Christ was a Jew. And the Bible tells the Jews and the Samaritans had issue at the time. And after all, she was also a woman. And Jesus Christ was a man. But Jesus Christ told her, if you know the gift of God, you have asked me, and I have given it to you freely. This is what He was referring to, the gift of God. The special gift of God, which is good, and which is also perfect. Jesus Christ, they often, when the Bible describes Him as God giving Him to us, the Bible says that, and God gave Him. He gave His Son. That's a gift. He gave His Son freely. He gave Him to us as a gift, so that he will bestow in us the blessings of this gift when we possess the Lord Jesus Christ. When we have our life connected to Him, as He told us in John chapter 15, He's the true vine and believers are the branches. When we have our life from Him, when we enjoy these special blessings, then we have life. We will never die. We will never be cut off from God. We'll have God in this life and in life to come. Who don't want this perfect gift? My question to you is that you have this. Yes, temporal gift, we all have life, health, and everything. But do you have this special gift? Also, as I tell you, if you are normal, by 50 years, who will be do you have it? Do you have it? It's a question you have to ask yourself. Have you tasted God's forgiveness for your sins? Well, I know many have confessed their sin before God several times. But have you realized God sending peace into your conscience? Have you realized that God has made you realize that you are reconciled to Him and that you feel Him as your Father? Have you realized God has forgiven you your sin? God sent that. God sent that assurance to us if our sins are forgiven us. Have you experienced the life of the Holy Spirit in you? That is, have you known God's will? So that His will and others, you desire His will than any other thing. You don't just take His will lightly. Well, God has said, but then I just do what I will. Have you realized that condition? Yes, it's my God's will, that it is the duty that the law and the will of God, I do this thing. Though I'm weak, it's not for me to ask strength to do it. I abandon it. I rather, when I have the fear of God, I rather ask for strength and do it and have all the difficulty. Have you realized that? Not some part of your life, generally. Whether when it comes to public worship, or your personal life, your day-to-day life, or your religious life. Have you realized this in your life? This is what you are talking about. This gift will come to make you this. If you are stranger to these things, the Lord Jesus calls each one of us. He's never weary of our prayers. He's never weary of our hypocrisy. So long as we'll come to Him, and we realize that we need Him. Without Him, we'll never have eternal blessing. Without Him, we'll never have forgiveness of sin. And we look to His sacrifice on the cross. We look to His blood which He shed. He's willing to save us. Will He also come? If we have not come to Him in this way, He will freely give us our forgiveness. He will give us His Spirit. He will freely give us His presence. So that we realize that He has really died for our sins also. May the Lord help us as we think about these things, that each one of us will pursue this, so we have this special good and perfect gift, which James is teaching us here. Say, do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning.